You see, what the Buddhist sutras don't teach, but that is the key point to understanding what they are teaching, is that the zero is not exactly the same as the infinitesimal. We talk about zero, and then we sometimes talk about the zero point, which is the location of consciousness. But that point, which is a geometrical point, meaning it is infinitesimal, infinitely small. Does the infinitely small take up any space? It does not appear in space, and so therefore from a phenomenal perspective it is zero, but it is not nothing. And the differential between the infinitesimal and absolute zero is why a universe of matter shows up and the universe of antimatter is absent, even though it is equally present in the same space, but it's beyond the zero point. So the absolute zero has to contain the infinitesimal that emanates the universe of what we call matter, energy, but also the differential, what is absent from that gap between the two is emanated as a universe of antimatter, in which you are equally present as you are here, because it is not really an elsewhere. However, until you realize that you are present here only as absence, you cannot realize that your absence is your presence in the universe of antimatter, and that the two are now coming to the point of absolute fusion. And it's that absolute fusion point that the Buddha is giving premonitions about, because the Dharma, the Buddha Dharma, must end at that moment, because it's a Dharma that only functions in delusion, in the world of samsara that is emanated by the conscious dream of that infinitesimal point that is ordaining everything that appears within the dream field that we call the world. So, we are at section 8. And I consider this section of the Lightning Strike Diamond Cutting Sutra to be a kind of public service announcement. Okay, it's almost like, let's take a commercial break from the teachings, and yet this break is the essence of the teaching. And yet, it is in a meta level to the teaching, because in order to give this teaching of truth, the truth must condescend to appearing as delusion. Because you cannot reach those who are in delusion except with a proposition that is delusional. But delusional in a way that points out of the delusion. But still it's within the delusion, because you wouldn't understand it enough to see that it's pointing to the grand egress of liberation. But we know that the concept of liberation itself is a delusion, because there's no bondage. But if you think you're a person in the world, there's plenty of bondage, and liberation is essential. Or, if not liberation, because you're too embedded in delusion to even be able to move toward the exit, and what you really want is a much more comfortable and pleasant delusion, which is the frame of reference of nearly every ego, then what the Buddha must inform you about is how to create good karma. If you're going to be in a delusional world and you don't want to wake up from the dream because you're clinging on to all of the character's attachments and you really believe that character that you're playing is real and it's really you and it's not a holographic image and something that you're kind of shocked that you're playing, if there isn't that gap yet between you and the character, if that has not yet occurred, then the best that that character can do is the kind of karma that will lead to comfort, wealth, being born in a loving, healthy family, having health, healthy body, having loving relationships, having all kinds of cultural stimulation that is beautiful, and living in a beautiful natural world, right? All of those things are much more what the ego would like to provide for itself. So Buddha has to give information for those who are in that level, who want to be successful entrepreneurs in the physical plane rather than actually owners of the whole corporation, you know, of reality. If you want to function in middle management at the level of a being in a world, then here's how you do it. Okay, so there are three points that this section is making that I think are essential to the recognition of the relationship between truth and delusion. Because truth only appears in delusion if you are in delusion. But you must recognize that the delusion that appears in truth as well. In other words, even the concept of Buddhahood is a delusional concept, or that of a sentient being, or that of any differential objectification. But assuming that you're within subject-object duality in your consciousness, and your mind is still split, and you're projecting your own parts as other beings who are impinging upon you in the phenomenal plane, and don't get it that you are dreaming all of this, but think you're being victimized by it, then you need to understand that relationship in a much more holistic way. Okay, so here's the section. The Buddha said, Subhuti, what do you think? If some noble son or daughter filled the billion worlds of this universe, which is obviously an undercount at this point, we know, with the seven jewels, right? There are seven famous jewels, the diamond, the sapphire, the ruby, etc., and gave them as a gift to all the Tathagatas, the arhats, the fully enlightened ones, the bodhisattvas, I'll include even those. If you would give, fill those worlds with jewels and give them as a gift to all the Buddhas, would the body of merit produced as a result of by this noble son or daughter be great, right? So that's the question. If you gave everything you had and everything you're ever going to have or ever did have or ever even imagined being able to have and all of your blessings to someone else to have all of that, and you gave that what would be the result? So in other words, the proposition is this. Do you get it that generosity is the key to wealth? That the more you give, if you give it accurately to one who will turn it into truth, wisdom, love, delight, the power to redream the world, then you will be enmeshed in the matrix of that dream field that is produced by that action that brings about the result of being the beneficiary of the action that you undertook, the generosity of spirit that you expressed and that you delivered. Okay, second paragraph. Subhuti answered, "Great indeed, Bhagavan, the body of merit produced, right? The good karma produced. Great indeed. The body of merit produced as a result by that noble son or daughter would be great, Sugata. And how so? Bhagavan, whatever is said by the Tathagata to be a body of merit is said by the Tathagata to be no body. Thus does the Tathagata speak of a body of merit as a body of merit." In other words, yes, if you do that kind of good karma that approaches infinite goodness, it becomes no karma, which means the result is Buddhahood, the transcendence of the field of giving and taking, of duality, the transcendence of the field of gain and loss, of all of the illusions that the capitalist system is based on and the whole world of nature in Kali Yuga is based on, of one being eating another, being eaten by yet another and by another, the whole food chain. Nature is cannibalistic, auto-cannibalistic. So in that sense, we have to auto-cannibalize our own minds in order to be able to achieve that ultimate state of giving that which is real. So, third paragraph. The Buddha said, "Subhuti, if instead of filling the billion worlds of this universe with the seven jewels and giving them as a gift to the Tathagatas, the Arhats, and the fully enlightened ones, this noble son or daughter grasped," key word here, I would say grokked is probably a better translation, "but grasped but one four-line gatha, one poem from within this whole sutra of this Dharma teaching, and made it known and explained it in detail to others, the body of merit produced as a result would be immeasurably and infinitely greater." And how so? Subhuti, from this is born the unexcelled perfect enlightenment of Tathagatas, Arhats, and fully enlightened ones. From this are born Buddhas and Bhagavans. And how so? Buddha Dharmas, Subhuti, Buddha Dharmas are spoken of by the Tathagata as no Buddha Dharmas. Thus are they called Buddha Dharmas. So remember in the last section, Subhuti was saying, sages arise from what is uncreated, right? That's how it ended. And now it ends, no, they're not. They are born from the transmission of the information that is contained in the words of a fully enlightened one, when they are passed on with the clarity that makes all of their implications graspable to the intelligence that is still locked into duality. And so it is this point that is of ultimate importance that one gets. The world is an illusion. To believe that it's real makes it a delusion. to recognize that it is a delusion that you have been in will break you free into the counter delusion of being enlightened or liberated. That can be the worst delusion of all, because it is the one from which you think you do not have to be liberated in order to know yourself. But if the infinitesimal point of your consciousness is still part of a complex of a dual mirror image of projected energies that form the flow of time moving in two different waves simultaneously, then one needs to reach that absolute zero that is the source of the emanation of these points that become the waves that become the fields, that become the collapsed wave functions that produce the universe in which this information is understandable. And that is not in the actual point of emanation until it is completely reflected in the mirror of time and space and multiplicity. So it is only at this moment when nirvana and samsara come together and you realize who you are. May you gain the peace that comes of shifting from the child ego to the adult who recognizes the frame of reference of the trajectory of the Sutratma and provides for future generations, even at the very end of time, knowing that the circle is never broken, but that the goodness of God's grace is unending. And may you know the deeper peace of realizing yourself as a participant observer, distributing the energy of that grace in the form of love and generosity and goodness and the divine delight of realizing that all of this is pure delusion and yet created by an infinite, intelligent, luminous being of incredible sense of humor, in which one doesn't mind being the butt of the joke because one recognizes that that joke is infinite joy. And the ultimate peace of the great joker, of the great ultimate non-appearing, behind-the-scenes ordainer of everything that happens and everything that you think and everything that you will realize in the future, is all present here and now in the implicate order that forms the core of your own heart, that lights up with self-awareness the moment you let go of every trace of egoic identity. Namaste.